Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We have a very fun topic, so this will be something that will perhaps add a little levity to your life and give you the opportunity to be able to release for a lighter version of you. We're going to be discussing three main scriptures, so if you have your Bibles, pull them out. I am a fan of the old-fashioned pages made of paper, and I actually have my Bible that I had with me since I was a freshman in college, way back when. And I will be sharing from these three scriptures based on one specific theme: how to release attachments that stress you out. Not that anyone that's listening in has an attachment, right? Wow, this is an incredible opportunity to be able to create a lighter version of who we are in Christ. So we will jump in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus. We just thank you for thinking of us today. Thank you for waking us up, for the gift of a new day of life. Without you, we are nothing. And with you, we have the opportunity, even if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, to move the mountains that we give power to define our worth, our value, and what we believe we're capable of handling successfully. Help us to remember our identity in you, that we are part of a royal priesthood, a people that belong to you, that you call us by name, that you have given us the opportunity 100 times a day to begin again. May we begin again with you quicker today than yesterday. When we get spun into that space of paralysis and anger and frustration or fear or doubt, we give you permission to override us, Lord. Enter into those dark corners within us when we are clinging like Gollum in the cave to the ring of attachment, whatever the attachment is, whether it's the need to be seen, acknowledged, recognized, opinion of other people. It's amazing, Lord, how quickly, how timid we are. We truly are your sheep. We just scatter just like a jackrabbit can stampede an entire herd of sheep. We get scattered so quickly by shiny objects outside of us, including the opinions of other people. So help us, Lord. We need your help. Grant us the grace to begin again in you. In your most precious name we pray. I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight for the edification and the strengthening of the people that are listening into this podcast today. Grant us the grace to edge you in more today than yesterday. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's jump into our first scripture here, Matthew 16:25. One of my absolute favorite scriptures. In fact, I have it highlighted, and I highlighted this when I was 19 years old, and it still convicts my heart profoundly. Actually, before I jump into the scriptures, let me offer you two different definitions. And as you're listening to this podcast, and I'll often remind listeners of the opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit before you even jump in, what's for me? I'm tuning into this podcast, Lord. So what's for me that you desire for me to take deeper and transform into my behavior, my words, my thoughts, my actions, how I show up in this world? So look for your one to three things. Have a notepad, unless you're driving. You can re-listen to this when you're in a position to be able to write something down that the Holy Spirit prompts you to write down for you. Without the Holy Spirit is our gift. Our Holy Spirit is the constant presence of the Lord that's reminding us of the things of Jesus, what he said. It's the presence of Christ within us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people to empower them to do mighty things. And now we have the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead living within us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to be transformed. We need help, particularly when it comes to this topic today, when it comes to the topic of an attachment. So look for your one to three things. The definition of an attachment is an emotional state of clinging. It's clinging to anything, whether it's a need for a certain outcome, position, response from another human being. And attachment is an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without a certain outcome, response, reaction, from the world around you, you can't be happy. Or you can't feel significant or meaningful or safe or connected. Now, these are just the basic human needs, the desires, the basic, for those of you that are fans of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's the first two tiers. It's the tiers of safety and connection and meaning and significance. And so anytime that we give power to something outside of us to give us that sense of significance and meaning, to give us a sense of safety and connection, we render ourselves extremely vulnerable to rise and fall depending upon how the world judges us at that time. Now, this is what first led me to Jesus as a teenager. It was just this exhaustion that came up from being a cat toy, being tossed about from one opinion to the next, from one positionality to the next. Ain't nobody got time for that. We've got work to do. And in order to stay grounded in Christ, unattached to the things of the world, so that we can rise up with a spirit, not of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, and to do the work of God, not moving to the right or to the left, but hearing the voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. We must enter into the practice of releasing attachments in our lives, those things that we give power to define our worth, value, and capability, which is the definition of stress. It's the power we give to outside circumstance to define our worth, value, and capability. And attachment is the emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without that thing, you can't be happy, which from the kingdom economy is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's not a practice of the ways of the world. It is a practice of those who follow Jesus Christ, because we are called for freedom, and it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened again by the yoke of slavery, as we are reminded of in Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not allow yourself. That means that you have a choice. In that phrase, do not allow yourself, that gives you permission to take back power, meaning you have a choice. You can allow yourself to be burdened and yoked by the world or not. So this week, what if you gave the Holy Spirit permission to sift you when it came to your attachments? Holy Spirit, I give you permission to show me what I am attached to. The next step is, how do I know when I have an attachment? When I have an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without it, I can't be happy. You know it because the body gets involved. Stress is the power you give to outside circumstance to define your worth, your value, and what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. So you know you have an attachment when your body gets involved, when your heart starts racing, when your throat gets tight, when you get scattered in your thinking, when anger and frustration start to well up in your gut and start traveling up and pour out of your mouth in defensive talk, ugly behavior. Sometimes it's silencing people out, stonewalling them. This is the way you know you have an attachment. Thanks be to God. So Holy Spirit, we give you permission to help us to be extremely alert and have high noticing of when our bodies are flared up, when you were spun. So pause for a moment, and you can even pause this podcast. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do I feel like, look like, and sound like when I'm spun? So that you can remember this moving forward. And then you can give the Holy Spirit permission. When I am spun, grant me the grace to get off the stage of drama so that I can realign my identity from the inside out versus the outside in. So, we have the definition of an attachment, an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, an outcome, response, reaction, body language, facial expressions, a smile, eye contact. I mean, it gets very, very, it gets very, very minute. We get scattered so quickly that you can't be happy or feel secure or meaningful or having a sense of significance in life. That's the game of the world. That's the finite game of life. We are playing the infinite game of life. And so we're seeking, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to release attachments so that we don't get bobbled around like a cat toy and rise and fall depending upon the how the world judges us at that time. So perhaps this week, just scanning back over your last week, just pick out a time when you got spun. Perhaps it's in the last 24 hours. Usually we don't have to go back very far, right? So choose that time when you were spun and just come up with a topic or a title, a simple title. Take that clip out of your timeline. Just put it in front of your awareness with the Lord. And what would you call that? Put it in a container so it doesn't run rampant inside your castle, taking and robbing your peace. You want to put your negative experiences in containers as quickly as possible. So put it in a container by giving it a title. What would you call it? Spun out, the opinions of another person, the drug of approval, the disease to please. Come up with a title because then you contain it. Then the next step is to simply tune into where you felt it. When you got spun and you tune into that space and you actually were spun by that attachment, needing a certain outcome, where did it manifest in your body? Because our perceptions, or as we were referencing Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Slavery to what? To the opinions of other people? To a certain outcome? Slavery to a promotion? Slavery to getting the deal? Perhaps you've put a rock star proposal together and you're waiting for a response. Whatever it is, it's power. It's a power leakage that you've given to something outside of you. So look at it. Look at the segment from your life. Pull it out. Give it a title. Then tune into, where do I feel this in my body? Huh. Well, when stress, usually you have storage containers. And stress usually goes to those same storage containers in your body every time. So tune into what your storage containers are, because then again, that will give it another container. Many times we just allow it to drive our ship, our sense of identity in our lives. Take back the reins. Put it in a container. Oh, well, when I'm stressed, I feel it in my heart. My heart starts to race. I have a hard time breathing. Or many people, when they're betrayed by other people, they feel it in their gut. It's as if they're punched in the gut. So know where it goes. Next stage, put it in another container. So we're putting in containers. Each time we put it in a container, we're making it smaller and smaller, rather than giving it the power to define who we are. It's important for us to remember whose we are. And we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us to make himself recognizable in this world. Period. That's who we are, whose we are. We belong to God. You belong to God. And so coming back, putting it in a container in your body, then just dropping down and imagining what that looks like in that container. Just using the gift of your visualization, imagination, just go in there and take a look. Look around. Usually it's dark. It's restricted. Usually when you go into the point of stress, you'll notice that it's heavy, it's black or dark. Perhaps it's red because there's anger and frustration. Just tune into it. Then again, you're the driver of it. Rather than allowing stress being the boss of you, you are the boss of stress because you're putting it in containers and you're seeing it for what it is. Then I encourage you to implement a simple technique, and I'm not going to take time on this call to do it. It's EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And basically, it's a tapping technique where you tap on what's referred to as self-soothing points. You naturally will tap on or rub your temples. Those are two self-soothing points. Some people will tap on their chest just instinctively when you're stressed out. That's another self-soothing point. And what these points do when you intentionally tap on them is they directly are linked to the amygdala in the brain. And the amygdala is the emotional center of the brain. This is how God wove us together. It's important to understand the biology of the you know, this is how God wove me together 101, so that you can see how stress is produced, because then you can become the driver of it versus being driven by it. And to see a sample explanation, demonstration, simply visit my website at laurenemiller.com, laurenemiller.com, and tap or go to the top and click on programs and then click on stress management. So laurenemiller.com, click on programs, click on stress management. And then you'll be able to scroll down. You'll see two different videos, EFT in 10 minutes, or a longer version of EFT. Simply what this does is it relaxes the part of the brain that catastrophizes, the part of the brain that sees life as a threat against you, producing stress hormones, and rendering you with only three choices, fight, flight, or freeze. So enough of the physical part of relaxing the stress. Let's move to the attachment part and what does scripture say about this? Because as Jesus was in the desert, what did he do when he was attacked? He quoted scriptures. So this is our greatest place of empowerment. We calm our body and we quote scriptures. And I encourage you, when you learn the points to relax your body, quote scriptures, plug in scriptures into the process, because then you're relaxing your body and you're resurrecting and giving your spirit permission to guide your flesh when you give power to the spirit over the flesh, as St. Paul talked about. And you do this by simply declaring scriptures and the victory of scriptures over your life. So, attachment. These are three scriptures, powerhouse scriptures, that I encourage you to write down and reflect upon. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's in this for me, Lord, to help me to release the attachments, the power I'm giving to circumstance that's just throwing, tossing me about. Believe me, you will have Earth School practice this week, I can assure you, because God loves us enough not to leave us clinging in the cave to our ring of attachment. So the first one is Matthew 16. Actually, let's read 24. Let's read 24 through 26. So Matthew 16, 24 through 26. And in fact, I'll put this with the podcast at Edge God In so that you can have this as a reference. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross." His cross, his attachments, the power he gives to outside circumstance to define who he is. "He must take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let me repeat this and ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me in this verse, Lord? Remind my mind of what my soul always knows. My freedom is in you, period. Dear Lord, help me to have one attachment moving forward. My heart to yours, my will to yours, my hand in your hand. One attachment moving forward. All things good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy flow from this one attachment moving forward. And I can say from personal experience, it requires a large heaping portion of grace. Because man, those voices in the world that are screaming get very, very loud, and those shiny objects sparkle and blind us to this just simple one attachment. We have lots of different attachments, thinking that who would I be without my attachments? Who would I be without the approval of other people? You would die to yourself and be free. So if anyone, as Jesus says in Matthew 16, 24 through 26, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? This is a powerful invitation for us today. Holy Spirit, give us the strength to deny ourselves, our positionality, our need to be right, our need to be liked, right, understood, the need for certain outcomes in order to know that we have significance in you. Golly, enough. Unzip the cloak of attachments. I'll give you a personal story here that I was reminded of this morning. And I literally, just to be transparent, woke up weeping this morning with a profound sense of gratitude for life. And I had a dream last night, and it was brought me back to after I had a double mastectomy, and I was so out of it. My kids came to visit me, and I remember being so scared before the double mastectomy. For those of you who don't know the story of my life that God carried me through, my dark night of the soul experience, back in 2006, I was diagnosed with advanced cancer 1 week prior to my final divorce court date. In less than 2 years, God literally carried me through a divorce, double mastectomy, 16 chemos, 6 weeks of daily radiation, a complete double mastectomy, and 6 weeks of daily radiation, a combination of experimental chemo for an additional year, a MRSA staph infection. I had an open wound for a year, and have used that quite a bit in teaching about open wounds, wounds that we walk around with that nobody knows about, and how vulnerability and transparency and bringing the light of our awareness to them heals those wounds. And I experienced it physically and emotionally. And so I had third degree burns from my clavicle down to my midriff due to a combination of experimental chemo and radiation. And so they had to graft my back onto my front, henceforth the 14 surgeries and lots of setbacks. And so my big joke is, I don't know if I'm coming or going most days, which is true. So back to the dream. I had a dream last night about the double mastectomy. And in the dream, I was clearly, clearly connecting to my three children who were 8, 10, and 12 at the time. I remember this because of a picture that I believe my mom took. I don't remember the encounter. I don't remember that moment. I remember it through a picture. And I remember my fear was coming from the attachment to my looks. And I had already lost my hair and my eyebrows, and I was petrified of seeing myself without breasts. And my very wise mother, and perhaps you've heard this story, it's definitely apropos to the topic of attachment this morning, said to me, you know, there's some cultures that don't believe in mirrors because they feel that it robs the soul of its true identity. Wow, how true is that? In fact, the other day, I've been looking in the mirror too much, and I heard the Lord say to me, stop looking in the mirror. Your peace and joy will increase. And so I did. And I got to tell you, my peace and my joy and confidence has increased. So what I did at that time is I covered all my mirrors for 3 days and used those 3 days basically to reestablish my identity in Christ, to remember whose I was, to remember I am not my breasts, I'm not my hair. And then when the third day came, I truly felt moved by the Holy Spirit. You're ready. You're not the image in the mirror. And so I took the thumbtacks down, I remember, and the sheet fell, and I was standing from the waist up, had nothing on, and looked at the image in the mirror, and literally I took a step back. I it was the craziest experience because I didn't recognize myself. It's amazing how eyebrows and hair and breasts have become such a point of beauty in our society. And yet there I stood before God, stripped of all of it. And I will never forget that image because it was so profound. It reminded me that God is bigger than the struggle. That, and this makes me emotional, but because I'm just coming off of it. In fact, God asked me to jump on and do a podcast after it because it was just so deeply, profoundly moving. Just remembering that the power of Christ within you is bigger than circumstance. And that was a lesson that literally is resurrected at least once a day in my mind. And that's why I'm so passionate to teach on attachments and their connection to stress in life. And I got 2 inches from the mirror, and I remember thinking how green my eyes were. And I remember just hearing the Lord speak to me in several different one-liners. One of them was, I see you, and you are complete. You lack nothing. in my eyes. And God sees you today. You are not your struggle. You are not the shiny objects, the need for advancement, approval, popularity, fame. That is not who you are. You are the only one that can give that back to its rightful owner. And that's Jesus Christ. He is the one that throughout the entire scriptures and gospels reminded people of whose they were, that they were enough. They didn't have to go out trying to prove their worth and value. They were enough in Christ. There was no need for any attachment except for their sense of identity poured into the heart of Christ. That's freedom. And I carry that in my heart. This morning I was reminded of that because of my dream. I woke up with just a profound sense of gratitude, of that remembrance that I'm not the image in the mirror. And so what is it for you today? What have you given power to over the last week to define your worth and your value and capability? What have you given permission to? And what are you clinging to associate with significance and meaning? This is a job for the Holy Spirit, and I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to truly sift your soul in this area. So we must deny our attachments and take up that heaviness, because at times it is heavy. You want people to like you, right? You want to be approved of. You want that promotion. You want people to accept your proposals and move forward and expand the territory God has entrusted to your care. That is natural. That is of the human nature to want significance and meaning. It's not diluting your need for significance of meaning. It's simply reattaching itself, reattaching significance and meaning where it belongs. Because when it is reattached to the vine, then you will gain life. You will find you. And you will gain eternal life. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? We're playing the infinite game of life here. And it requires a much different rule book. So I encourage you, I'm turning my pages, and it's a funny story. My golden retriever got a hold of my Bible, ate the book of Galatians, and there's a bunch of different pieces. As I'm speaking to you, I'm actually taping one of the pieces together because this Bible was given to me by a very powerful mentor to me, Coach Dan Stavely, and when I went to see you, and he mentored me once a week because I was a new Christian when I came from Long Island out to Colorado, and he met with me, and this was the Bible that he hooked me up with, so it has a lot of meaning to me. So let's turn to the next group of scriptures talking about attachments. So one, we must deny ourselves. How do we do that? Starve it. Starve it from giving it attention. When you feel your body that is flared up, because that's how you'll know you have an attachment, it's an invitation to start quoting the scriptures of whose you are. It is for freedom that you've set me free, Jesus. I give you more authority than to the circumstance to define who I am or what I'm capable of handling successfully. So you start declaring, rebuking, and taking back your identity. And by releasing attachments and rising and falling, because when the other piece of attachments before reading Philippians that's important to know is expectations. Whenever we have expectations or assumptions that people should show up a certain way, we render ourselves, we are farming out our identity to the world. This is a very, and perhaps this is your one takeaway. Dear Lord, help me to manage my expectations and assumptions. When your expectation and assumption exceeds reality, exceeds what actually shows up, you will experience profound sense of anxiety and stress and disappointment. It happens this way every time. So when you have anxiety and stress, the next time is to really ask yourself, what was my expectation? What was my assumption? Manage your expectations and assumptions, because they are the archway through which an attachment occurs and stress increases in your life. So Philippians 3, verses 8 through 10. Here we go. Not that I have, okay, I'm going to actually back this up just a little bit. Philippians, let's go to Philippians 3. Let's see, Philippians 3, 4. So this is Paul writing to Philippi. And he's basically saying, hey, listen, guys, if you think you have confidence in the flesh, let me just tell you something. I've been circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a people of Israel, a big people in Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. He's basically saying, I was absolutely faultless in the eyes of the world until Jesus crashed my party. And the truth was revealed. That's an encounter. If you haven't listened to the podcast, A Three-Step Prison Break, highly recommend you look that one up. There's a two-part series, Three-Step Prison Break. As for zeal, so he's basically laying it out. Hey, in the world, I had it going on, right? Then he says, but. So when you ever you hear but, just sit up straight and be aware that you're going to get some good information following that but in the Bible. So this is where the repentance occurs. But this is what I gain from encountering Christ, he's saying in verse 7, Philippians 3, 7. Whatever was to my profit, all that worldly stuff, all those trinkets, all those positions, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. And what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own anymore. So not thinking I'm all that. It's not all about I, me, my. Of my own right that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Don't you want to know Christ? Let's ask for this, Holy Spirit. Help us to know Jesus Christ of Nazareth more today than yesterday. In verse 10, I want to know Christ in the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, how do you do that? And then he goes on in verse 12, that he explains how you do this. Not that I've already obtained all this or have been made perfect. So again, it's having grace. Accept yourself right where you're at, and give God permission to take you where he wants you to be. Not that I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, right? Neither do I. But one thing I do, I forget what is behind and strain on to what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Scriptures. So that's Philippians verses 4 through 14. 4 through 14. Highly recommend you sit with that, with the Holy Spirit, and ask him to sift your soul. Show me how to use these scriptures to release attachments in my life. Philippians 3, 4 through 14. Now, what's very powerful is pressing on toward the goal. So this is what I do. I forget what's behind and I press on to what is ahead. Why is that important? It's important because we get attached to needing to know why things happen as they do. We need to know and stay up at night around two questions. I need to know why this happened, and I need to know how this is going to turn out. When you are made new in Christ, when you have one attachment, I'm here, Lord, to be your ambassador. Make your appeal through me more today than yesterday. I am here for you, to make you recognizable at work, professionally, and at home. Maximize the gifts for the edification of your people. What would you have me say? What would you have me do? How do you want me to write this email? How would you have me respond to this person? So up your conversation with the Lord throughout the day to override attachments. Release your need to know why things happen as they do. This is a grace. Holy Spirit, help us to let go of the past. Help us to trust, to up our trust factor, to have faith that you're working everything together for an ultimate good, and to let go of our need to know how things are going to turn out. Because you know what? You do have plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me hope and a future. And I declare that as my truth today over my need to know how things will work out. So I will leave you with one more scripture in the area of attachment. This is a powerful one. First Timothy, and we're going to start with verse 6 and go through verse 10. And this is Paul writing to Timothy, First Timothy and Second Timothy. He's writing these letters from prison, Timothy was one of his apprentices, one of his followers, and he's encouraging Timothy in his faith to encourage the people entrusted to his care. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You think? Hello? When you know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth adores you and he's got your back, and he's working on your behalf behind closed doors, that he's making the hearts of people to be favorably inclined on your behalf for his good purposes that he's prepared in advance for you to enter into. When you truly, truly believe that, contentment will be your way. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we will take nothing out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Are we content with our food and clothing every day? That's definitely worth our reflection. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and to many foolish, harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. We see this all the time. I've seen it in my own life. My greed, the area for greed. There's a podcast on greed. I encourage you to listen to that as well. Greed is a vicious little monster, and it will come in very below the radar ways that will produce entitlement and victimization quicker than poop through a goose, as my grandfather would say. Watch for it. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves. Again, this is a choice point. Look for choice points when you read through the scriptures, meaning you have a choice to be pierced or not to be pierced. To have Jesus Christ of Nazareth be your one attachment in life, the will of God, one attachment in your life over all the other shiny objects, or not. So you have the choice to be pierced by seeking the shiny objects of the world, including money. Money's a big one. And also, it's everything, all the shadow sides of money that go along with it. The need for importance, again, significance and meaning. People have attached their need for significance and meaning to money. So that's, again, a job for the Holy Spirit. That is a job for the Holy Spirit. We are charged in verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from all of this. Flee from all of this. Why? This isn't to put a heavy burden on us, people. This is to free us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. So Paul is telling Timothy in prison, some of his last words, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. How do we do that? Become a lighter version of who we are in Christ. We have a single focus. We have one attachment. We don't have assumptions and expectations that anything should be any different than it is in our lives. We continually trust God and toss it into the lap of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the master landscaper and can weave everything that you experience into an ultimate good. So as we wrap this up, I leave you with one question. What are you attached to? How do you know that you're attached to it? Where does it show up in your body? Actually, this is three questions. Where does it show up for you? I encourage you to give more authority to the strength of God within you, to the power of the living Lord within you, than to that attachment, to know your meaning and your significance, to know that you are safe and you are connected. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this invitation. Moving forward, easily and naturally, grant us the grace to release our attachments, those things that we grip a hold of, the things that we've given power to, thinking that we need them in order to have meaning and significance. Enough. Help us to unzip that cloak of attachment. Reveal to us. We give you permission to sift our soul. Remind our mind. Make it very clear to us the pattern of our attachments. Reveal to us this week, Lord, one attachment, one main attachment that shows up, same theme, different stages, that robs us of the peace that passes all human understanding, that robs us of the knowing that godliness with contentment is great gain, that robs us from remembering that we are here to make you recognizable. Not to make us recognizable, to make you recognizable. Grant us the grace to consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing you as our Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, we want to know you. We want to know the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in your sufferings and becoming like you in your death so that we can live, so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Give us the grace, Lord, and this is such a huge grace. Jesus, we need this grace to let go of the need to know why things happened as they did, as well as the need to know how things will turn out. Help us to press on, holding on to one thing, your hand, to run toward the goal, to win the prize, the infinite game of life for which you have called us heavenward. Father God, this is a grace. We can't do it on our own. We're too weak. We want to be seen. We want to be acknowledged. We want to be recognized. Give us the grace. Give us the grace, sweet Jesus, to surrender our identity into you, to remember that our citizenship is in heaven. We are pilgrims passing through here. Forgive us for so quickly being spun and giving power to outside circumstance to define our worth, and therefore our body gets involved. We can't breathe. We can't sleep. We lay up at night worrying about the situation. We should have done this. We should all over the place. We should have done this. We should have said this. God, deliver us from ourselves and resurrect within us that power that rose you from the grave. We claim your mind moving forward. Give us the grace to take every thought captive. Free us from expectation and assumption. May we have one attachment, our heart to you. May we have one expectation to draw closer to you today than yesterday. Free us, sweet Jesus, free us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for joining me this morning, and you can find the scriptures. I will put this up. You'll see the scriptures below the podcast. I highly encourage you, just take these scriptures. It's between you and the Lord. He knows where you're trapped. He knows how to guide you into awareness, to lead you into Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free, set me free, for his glory. I pray by the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that God grants you that deliverance this week from attachment, more today than yesterday, and continue to pray for me as well. This is Earth School, you guys. We need to encourage one another as long as it's called today, particularly now, so that we can have the grace to outshine the darkness. Thank you for joining us. Visit us at edgegodin.com for more podcasts. The podcast I mentioned for you to explore more that kind of will deepen this for you is a 3-step prison break. And there's also a podcast on greed as well. Enjoy your gift of life. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next Edge God In podcast. Surround yourself with people who make you a better person in life.